All right. Hello, Steve Elzinger here again. We are in this coaching class. I hope it's going well for you. I want to talk about listening. A lot of what a coach does. Well, one of the things a coach does is ask questions. And if you're going to ask questions, you have to learn how to listen. Because what's the point of someone asking a question if they're not going to listen to the answer? Since coaching is client-centered, a coach must listen if any coaching is going to take place, because the client is the one who has to come up with his own solutions. And the only way he's going to do that is by speaking. And the only way a client is going to speak is if there's someone there listening. I got this from a coaching book, I forget which one. When you pray, who's doing most of the talking? Is God giving you a constant stream of advice and telling you what to do? Or is he mostly listening? God is a great listener. In some ways, God is like a coach. We go to God in prayer, and God... I'm not saying God doesn't speak to us, but we do a lot of the talking, and as God listens to us, we sometimes figure out our own problems. God allows us to, you know, we can come to him in anger. There's psalms where the psalmist comes and he's frustrated with God. You know, why did the wicked prosper? God, are you listening to me? You can come to God with all your emotions. And as you do, and because we can come to God with all our emotions, we can put them all on the table. And in a loving, caring relationship that we have with God, a lot of times answers can come just by God listening to us. Listening, so what does listening do? Listening, first of all, communicates that you care. True listening comes from caring about what another person says. So just taking the time to listen to somebody communicates that you care. One of my parishioners, he's 82 years old, and he had a chainsaw, and he was up in a tree cutting a limb, and he fell, and he hit his head, and with the trauma of hitting his head, he had a seizure. So I went to the hospital and met with them, and the family was there. Some of the family goes to church, some of the family doesn't, but most of what I did there at the hospital was to listen to everybody. To listen to what they had to say, to how they were feeling. And just by listening, when I left, they thanked me. Thanks for coming. We appreciate it so much. And really, what did I do? I didn't have all these brilliant words for them. They already knew that God is in charge. They already knew all the things that I might say. But by just simply listening to them, listening to their fears, listening to their hopes, I'm giving value to what they're going through. And just being there listening is encouragement. Listening communicates that you believe in the person. Listening is one of the most powerful, compelling ways to say, you are a great person. I have confidence in you. If you look at sometimes parents and the relationship to their children, a lot of times it's a one-way street. The parents are doing a lot of talking. And when the child talks, of course, the child talks in simple language. And the child is describing or telling the parent something that the parent already knows about, has seen, as a parent, I was a child once, so I understand what you're going through. And maybe you do, but your child doesn't know that until you listen. I mean, that's the way it is with most relationships. In a marriage relationship, yeah, we could finish each other's sentences. We know each other so well. And so when one spouse is complaining about something to the other, and the other has heard it before, it's like, okay, got it. No, but that your spouse needs to say these things. They want to say more, not less. So your job is to keep them talking. Listening communicates that you believe in the person, that they can do it. I don't have to solve all your problems. I don't have to come up with a solution. I believe that you can come up with your own solution. Listening for possible deep wells. A deep well is where the water is. Okay, sometimes you dig a well and you don't hit water until you get down 100 feet. When I was years ago, back in 1979, I spent a summer in some little village in Nicaragua. And there was a lady carrying water all day long. She was about a half a mile from the well, and she put this big bucket on top of her head, and she all day long she was bringing water to her house. And my partner foolishly volunteered for us to do that for her one day. So, you know, and our heads aren't, you know, I'm not used to carrying a, you know, 5-gallon thing on my head of water. And the well was 100 feet deep. You had to let the bucket down and fill it up, and you had to hoist this thing 100 feet, fill up the bucket, put it on your head, walk a half a mile. That was one brutal day. But my point is, sometimes you got to go down 100 feet to get to the water, to get to the good stuff. And that's what listening is. Listen. A lot of times when someone says something, it's at the surface. But that's not where the water is. That's not where the life is. That's not where the change is. That's not where the emotion is. You have to listen long enough to get down to the water. A coach hones in on the most interesting, unusual, or significant thing the client shares. This is called intuitive listening. Ask the client to go deeper in that point. At that point, so that's what a client does. You're listening, and then your client, you know, gives a hint that there might be water over here. They say something that leads you in this direction, and so you say something about it. You're listening for the most interesting they say, or some emotional thing that they say. So what are you listening for? You're first of all listening for emotion. You know, was there a little anger there? Was there a little surprise there? Was there frustration there? Was there joy there? Was there disappointment there? So you follow the emotion, wherever the emotion was. They can be telling you, you know, about the football game or a thing that they went to, but then in the middle of it, there's this frustration thing. And that's what you want to zero in on. The voice. The body language, joy, sadness, depression, guilt, fear, the word that they use. And that's what you follow up on. Could you tell me more about that? It sounds like you're pretty excited about this. It seems like you're a little depressed about that. Okay? I'm not telling you are. I'm just asking, and I'm really giving you permission to talk more about it. We went down a level. We're close to the water. Let's keep going in this direction. State of being words. I feel. A state of being is my, you know, your client's state of being. How am I doing? I feel unmotivated. I'm tired. I'm worn out. I'm incapable of getting things done. I'm angry. I'm fearful. I'm stressed. This is the state of being that I am. So as you're listening to your client talk about things, and you can just be chit-chatting, and you're still listening. This is something you can do in all your conversations. A lot of times conversations sort of meander all over the place. You know, we start with this topic, it relates to this, and we go here, we go there. If you want to make a difference in the relationship, in the lives of the people you have a relationship with, you want to go deeper, you want to get to the water. A lot of times the conversations stay on the surface. We talk about this, we talk about that, but in the end it doesn't make any difference. So you're looking for those little wells that there might be some water down there. So you're listening to how they say something, where there might be a little frustration, where there might be some joy, where their eyes sparkle. That's the thing you want to pursue. Okay, there's something there. Let's go in that direction. And you will, so the goal is to go deeper and deeper and deeper. I once was with a person I was trying to help, you know, help them figure out how to do counseling more. And I got so frustrated because, you know, my goal with a client that I'm meeting with is to go deeper and deeper. It's hard to get deeper. And then he would ask a question that would bring it right back to the surface. Oh, are you related to so-and-so? And it's like all of a sudden we're close to the water and now we're back on the surface. So be aware of getting closer to something that's more important to the client than just, you know, talking. You're listening for statements that are out of the ordinary. I just didn't get to what I wanted to do last week because my oldest son came home for a few days. So you're dealing with a client and you ask them, you know, they had an assignment, something they were going to do for the next week. You meet with them the next time and you go, well, how did it go? How did that thing that you said you were going to do, how did it go? And they say this, I just didn't get to it. I didn't get to what I wanted to do last week because my oldest son came home for a few weeks. Okay, now you could talk about the thing he didn't do, or you could talk about this new information. What about the son that came home? Is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? And you're listening to what he's saying. Is he frustrated about his son coming home? Is he happy about his son coming home? What's going on there? So that's what you zero in on. Oh, tell me more about your oldest son coming home. Now, he's going to confirm one way or another whether this is a problem or whether it's not a problem. And, you know, and this might be a problem behind the other problem. Number four, you're listening for statements that are interesting. Your client may say something like this, sometimes I wish I could just start a new career. Well, that's interesting. You go with that. You know, you're talking about something else. He's talking about improving his marriage or whatever the issue is that you finally figured out. This is what we want to do something. But all of a sudden he says that. It's like, oh, well, that's it. Let's talk about that. Note, look for statements that have the word interesting in it. It's kind of a clue. When someone says, this was interesting, or I saw something interesting, or I heard something interesting, that's the thing to pursue. Because they're already telling you. They're giving you a huge clue. I'm interested in this because it is interesting. Let's pursue that. Listening for statements that require more information. Okay? They tell you something, but you don't get it. It's like it's not enough information. So, I feel like I'm wasting my time. Oh, really? Why do you feel that way? Okay, I don't know what that means. As the coach, I'm listening to you, and you're telling me this. I'm not sure what that means. You need to fill that in. I would like to do something that is important. Okay, so what's important? What's important to you? Okay, I'm going to pursue that when people start talking this way. I need more information to understand what you're talking about. I think I need to spend more time with my wife. Okay. I don't know what that means either. How much time are you spending now? What is more time? What are you going to do with that time? See, I don't know enough stuff from that one statement to help you figure out what you want to do. All I do is work. Okay, what work are you doing? Why do you feel like all you do is work? Give me the lowdown of what your week is like. And then what do you want to do about it? See, I'm pursuing this phrase, this statement that requires more information. You're saying this thing, but I could not explain it to someone else what you're going through. My wife and I don't seem to be getting along very well. Okay, well, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. So I have to ask questions. Well, why do you say that? Why do you think that you're not getting along well? What's the evidence for this? And now the guy starts talking about things, and now you're getting a bigger picture. Basic listening questions. This is the number one. I use this all the time. Could you say more about that? Could you say more about that? I mean, you can use that in any conversation that you have with anyone. Could you say more about that? And people love this question. People want to say more about whatever they're excited or whatever they're talking about. I'm not sure I know what you mean. Could you explain more about that? Okay, I don't have the full picture. Could you tell me more? And again, people are more than willing and happy to do it. The statement, and then you reiterate the statement that they made to you, is very interesting. Could you elaborate more on that? Again, I'm just asking for you to keep talking. Basically, that's all you're doing, is I'm trying to get you to keep talking. Why? Because, you know, we can hang around the surface, but if you keep talking, I'm going to eventually figure out where the water is, where the deep well is, and that's where we need to try to figure out what you want to do and how you want to do it and what obstacles are in the way of your life. This is the arena where I want to do the coaching. Basic listening questions. Why? Why do you feel that way? Why do you want to do that? Why is probably the most important question that you can ask, because why, and the answer to the why question is the motivation. Why do I want a good marriage? Well, for me to answer that gets to my motivation, because God gave me this spouse. God created me to be fulfilled in another person, because He has a great role for both of us together. That's why I want a good marriage. See, once I can figure out the why, then I get really motivated about whatever it is. So why is really the most important question. It's the motivation question. A lot of times, you know, as pastors, we're telling people what they want them to do. We want you to do this. We want you to do that. But we're not giving them motivation to do it. Instead of just telling people what to do, we got to explain why we want them to do it. How? How's it done? How are you going to go about this? You have a goal of having a better marriage, but how's this going to work? The how question is where the rubber meets the road. We can philosophize about all the things we want to do and what we want to be, but how brings it down and says, okay, so what exactly are you going to do? How is a great question for the plan. How are you going to achieve your goal? What are the steps? Where are you going to do this? Where are you going to try to make this happen in this week? You want to do devotions? Well, where are you going to do devotions? If you don't figure out the where, you probably won't do them. When? Okay, again, you can have a goal. You know, this week you're going to do something. But if you don't figure out exactly when you're going to do it, next week we'll get to the next meeting and you won't have done it. Why? Because you never figured out when to do it. Are you going to do it in the morning? Are you going to do it in your spare time? How is this going to work in your life? And what? What are you going to do? You see how these questions, the basic questions, why, how, where, when, and what? Those should always be on the tip of your tongue. Okay, well, how are you going to do that? Where are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? Every single week, as you're trying to help manage the process of achieving these goals, these are the questions you want to be asking. The first goal of listening is to keep the client talking. Keep the client talking. Keep the focus on the client. The focus should not be on you. If you're doing the talking, then you're not coaching. The second goal of listening is to help the client go deeper into his or her needs or wants. Okay? A lot of times people are at a surface level. We want to get down to the water. The third goal of listening is to help the client decide on a course of action. Number two, to make a plan to carry out a course of action. And number three, finally, make progress carrying out a plan of the course of action. These are the three things, the three basic things that a coach does. Okay, we'll see you again next time.